All eyes turn from the ballot box to the Fed.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Now the global perspective, what's happening in business and economics around the world and how it affects the United States. On this day after voters handed the GOP keys to the U.S. House, we're going to explore how the things are getting back to normal after all that bitter campaign spending on television. Today, all eyes on the global financial system are on the U.S. Federal Reserve. The Fed widely expected to announce today it's going to pump more money into the economy. Marketplace's Stephen Beard is with us live from London with the Marketplace angle to this story, which is why the Fed is so important and why it has so many global repercussions. Hi, Stephen.
Hello, Steve.
So why is everyone so interested in what the Fed's going to do?
Well, to see if the Fed resorts once again to the ultimate weapon in its armory, printing more money to buy longer-dated U.S. government bonds. The Fed will be hoping to drive down long-term interest rates in this way so people borrow to buy houses and cars and companies expand. Now, economic recovery remains fragile in Britain and throughout Europe too, so central banks here may well be tempted to follow the Fed's example, says Ian Shepherdson of High Frequency Economics.
It certainly puts pressure on the Bank of England, and I would guess that within the next few months they will indeed follow, especially if it's deemed to be successful in the States, if it holds down those long-term interest rates, which is what they'd be targeting.
All right, Stephen, he mentions the Bank of England. What about other countries?
Well, the European Central Bank, which represents the 16 Eurozone countries, has been much more cautious about printing money than the Brits or the US. But one of the effects of the Fed doing this, if it works, would be to lower the value of the US dollar against the euro. Now, that would make it even tougher for European exporters to sell goods and services to the States. So the ECB may then come under pressure to protect European exporters and to follow the Fed's example as well and print more euros.
Marketplace's Stephen Beard in London. Stephen, thanks.
Okay, Steve.
I mentioned the Republican takeover of the House with Democrats holding on to a slim majority in the Senate. Some ballots have yet to be counted. But one thing is for sure, we're going to get regular television commercials back. Milwaukee Public Radio's Mitch Tyke reports on what happens now.
It turns out many ad buyers hate political commercials more than you do. That's because ads for other clients, shoe stores, car dealers, get bumped to make room for political spots. Local stations give priority to campaign ads, which pay more. Alicia Smits is an ad buyer for Laughlin Constable in Milwaukee. She represents clients like the department store chain The Boston Store. And she says there's an issue when the store has already bought time.
So the problem is, for the Boston store, our sales are really, really short.
She's talking about those special Columbus Day and Labor Day sales, which only last a few days and can't be aired later on.
When I get kicked out by politicians, I have nowhere to go because the other stations in the market can't take it because nobody has inventory for me to take. It's just not available.
That means lots of so-called make goods in the coming weeks, ads that were supposed to run in the campaign season but didn't.
Since they're getting pushed back, that puts more of a pressure on the station's inventory. So even though it's not as horrible, not nearly as horrible, it's still really tight.
Smith says that means ad buying will remain complicated even into December because ads for holiday sales will be competing for time with those make goods. In Milwaukee, I'm Mitch Tyke for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. Global stocks are higher at the moment. Wall Street yesterday, markets added more than 0.5%. The Dow tacked on about 64 points, and it closed at 11,188.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by MassMutual, with financial professionals nationwide who are trained to serve the unique financial needs of their clients at massmutual.com. By Novo Nordisk, since 1923, innovative developer of diabetes treatments and delivery devices at novonordisk-us.com. And by PBS, taking you deep inside the world of the big top. Circus, starting tonight at 9, 8 Central on PBS.
Go behind the kitchen door of some of the fanciest restaurants in America, and you're likely to hear Spanish spoken there. For generations, Latinos have been the backbone of the food service industry, but there have been few Hispanic American top chefs. Well, that's about to change. Texas Public Radio's David Martin Davies reports.
49 and 34.
Lots of finer restaurants are closed on Mondays, but not La Gloria. This trendy Mexican restaurant overlooking the San Antonio Riverwalk is packed. Johnny Hernandez is the chef and owner.
Look at what's coming out the window. These are sopes.
A sopa is a thick corn tortilla, crispy on the outside, soft on the inside, and slathered with shredded meat and Mexican sauces. It's a Mexican street food that could be the next big thing in America.
It's a cuisine that is that's in its infancy here in the United States.
Hernandez is a graduate of the Culinary Institute of America in Hyde Park, New York. It was a long journey from growing up chopping onions at his family's cafeteria to owning his own place.
Yeah, Johnny has done it right.
David Kellaway is the director of the Institute's new San Antonio campus.
The way Johnny has pursued his path has undoubtedly given him a far more substantial tool bag to acquire his dreams.
But turning dreams into reality takes money. And for many, cooking school is too expensive. Not anymore. Billionaire Kit Goldsberry made a fortune off of Pace Picante sauce. He's giving the Institute $35 million, and that made the San Antonio campus and scholarships possible. He says it's time for Mexican cuisine to be as appreciated as the cuisines of Italy or France.
I started realizing that most of the kitchens in the country were staffed by Latinos, but you didn't see a lot of the chefs rising to the top of the great chefs that you hear about around the world.
And there's another magic ingredient that could help launch authentic Mexican food in the United States in a big way. Latinos now represent the second largest consumer market in America. Currently, one out of every six U.S. residents is Latino. That's 50 million people, and likely to mean longer lines at restaurants like La Gloria's. In San Antonio, I'm David Martin Davies for Marketplace.
And finally, smoking workers at one government office in Britain now have to sacrifice something else for that habit, money. At the Breckland Council, employees will have to clock out to take a cigarette break. The council implemented the new rule after it claimed too much time was being wasted by workers stepping outside to light up. A smoker's lobbying group called the plan tyrannical. In Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiatakis. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
Inner Mongolia is making so much money selling coal to China that they're building whole new cities. Problem is, nobody lives in them yet.
The nearest supermarket is half an hour away. Will people start to move here? There are still a lot of empty properties.
I'm Kai Rizdal. Mongolia's growing pains and all the day's business news, the numbers from Wall Street as well. Next time on Marketplace from American Public Media.